Section 6. The Nebraska Corporate Income Tax. Background. Nebraska is one of 47 states which impose some type of tax on corporate income. The first state corporate income tax was enacted by Wisconsin in 1911. Five other states quickly followed, and by 1940, 40 states had adopted corporate income taxes. Today, only Nevada, South Dakota, and Wyoming do not levy this tax. Currently, the Nebraska corporate income tax has two brackets, with a 5.58% rate for corporate income up to $50,000, and a 7.81% rate for corporate income over $50,000. When a corporation does business in only one state, all of its income is subject to tax by that state. When a corporation does business in more than one state, most states which have a corporate income tax employ a formula which apportions a part of the corporation's income to the state. In the 1950s, the Multi-State Tax Commission was formed, and the Uniform Division of Income for Tax Purposes Act, UDITPA, was developed, which provided a model apportionment formula. The formula, often called the standard three-factor apportionment formula, was widely adopted. Under the three-factor formula, the income of the business enterprise is divided among the states, based upon the amount of sales, property, and payroll of the enterprise occurring in each state. The overall apportionment percentage is calculated by adding the sales ratio, property ratio, and payroll ratio, and dividing by 3. Thus, if 50% of a corporation's sales, 10% of its payroll, and 30% of its property occur in a state, then the 50% plus 10% plus 30% over 3 or 30% of the corporation's income is subject to tax by that state. In the 1950s and 1960s, there was an effort by the Multi-State Tax Commission to encourage all states to adopt the standard three-factor formula, largely on the basis of conformity, consistency, and fairness. The argument for uniformity was that if all states adopted the formula, then exactly 100% of corporate taxpayers' income would be subject to tax. If states adopted different methods, then more or less than 100% of income could be subject to tax. The standard three-factor formula began to lose favor in the 1970s. It was criticized as being distortive, particularly by businesses which were labor and capital intensive, because they believed that the formula did not reflect where their income was earned. Many states came to the conclusion that the standard three-factor formula underrepresented the importance of the sales factor. In response, several states adopted formulas where the sales factor was double-weighted or counted twice, and Iowa enacted a single sales factor formula. Exhibit 6-1 is a chart from the Federation of Tax Administrators, FTA, which shows the many different apportionment formulas employed by the states as of January 1, 2007. Only 8 states continue to use the three-factor formula, and many now use the single-factor sales formula, sometimes, as an option. The chart gives compelling evidence that uniformity does not exist, and the states appear to be in competition to attract corporate businesses. Nebraska's corporate income tax is best characterized as a domestic unitary combination approach, where the state excludes the business activities of foreign corporations that do no business in Nebraska. Until 1988, Nebraska employed the standard three-factor formula to apportion combined income. From 1988 through 1991, Nebraska transitioned to give additional weight to the sales factor, and in 1992, Nebraska adopted the single-factor sales formula employed by Iowa and others. Commission findings. The Nebraska corporate income tax is structured with two tax brackets with a top rate of 7.81%, which is reached at an income level of $50,000. Among the states levying corporate income taxes, Nebraska's top rate ranks 17th nationally. Exhibit 6-2 is a chart from the FTA that shows the tax rates and brackets for all the states. Unlike the Nebraska personal income tax, where the tax rate has changed frequently over the years, the corporate tax rates have remained the same since the 1980s. On a national level, state corporate income taxes make up a relatively small portion of state tax revenues. the importance of state corporate income tax revenue has steadily declined for decades. In 1977, corporate income taxes accounted for about 9.5% of total state tax revenue for the 50 states. By 2004, that percentage had dropped to about 5%. Moreover, that percentage drops to less than 2% when compared to total state tax and non-tax revenue. In almost every state, the corporate income tax's importance is dwarfed by the far greater revenues generated by personal income, sales, and property taxes. Nebraska's experience is identical to the national experience. The Nebraska corporate income tax has been a rapidly declining source of revenue for the state. In 1981, the Nebraska corporate income tax contributed about 7% of total state tax revenues. By 2002, the tax accounted for less than 4%. The Nebraska Department of Revenue, NDOR, attributes this decline to four factors. 1. The change beginning. In 1988, from the three-factor apportionment formula to the single-factor sales formula. 2. The repeal of the throwback rule. 3. The granting of tax incentives to stimulate economic growth. The DOR concluded as much as 50% of the decline may be due to tax incentives, and 4. More aggressive state tax planning by corporate taxpayers, and a greater use of other forms of business organization, like joint ventures, corporate partnerships, and limited liability companies, LLCs. The single-factor sales formula. One of the principal recommendations of the Syracuse study of 1988 was that Nebraska not adopt the single-factor sales formula. That recommendation was not heeded and Nebraska transitioned to the single-factor sales formula in 1991. The argument against a single-factor sales formula is the same today as it was in 1988. The single-factor sales formula ignores the contributions of business payroll and property in the state and shifts the burden of the tax to those with primarily sales operations in Nebraska. The result is that the burden of the tax shifts away from corporations using capital and labor in Nebraska and toward firms that tend to primarily sell products to the Nebraska markets. One of the fundamental principles of an income tax apportionment system is that it should clearly reflect income. No system achieves that goal for all types of corporate taxpayers. The single-factor sales formula is a good method to divide the income of some types of businesses, such as retail sellers. However, the single-factor sales formula can sometimes produce extremely distortive results. A corporation with all of its employees and manufacturing facilities in Nebraska, and most of its sales outside of the state will pay little income tax in Nebraska. At the other extreme, a corporation with all of its manufacturing facilities and employees in another state which sells its products primarily in Nebraska will find that Nebraska taxes almost all of its income. In the two decades since the Syracuse study recommended that Nebraska not shift to the single-factor sales formula, many states have adopted the single-factor sales formula, and many more are considering it. If one state adopts the single-factor sales formula, there is extreme pressure on adjacent states to also adopt it or face the prospect of losing important corporate manufacturing and labor to neighboring states. Iowa was the first state to adopt the single-factor formula, and today every state adjacent to Iowa either has adopted the single-factor formula or allows it as an option. Missouri gives the taxpayer the choice of either the traditional three-factor formula or the single-factor sales formula. The throwback rule. The elimination of the throwback rule further erodes Nebraska's corporate tax base. The throwback rule was developed to ensure that 100% of a corporate taxpayer's income would be subject to tax. Under that concept, if a taxpayer made a sale in a jurisdiction which did not impose an income tax, that sale was considered a nowhere sale and was thrown back to the sales factor of the state from which the sale originated. The advocates of this concept argued that by throwing back the sales, the states could ensure that no income escaped taxation. Proponents for eliminating the throwback rule contended that the repeal would provide an incentive for firms engaged in out-of-state retail sales or operations to remain in and move to Nebraska. the declining Nebraska corporate income tax. Nebraska's experience with the corporate income tax is consistent with the experience of the states as a whole. The state corporate income tax has not been a stable or reliable source of income for state governments, nor has it generally been an important source in relation to the revenues generated by other state taxes. The total state revenue generated from state corporate income taxes has declined steadily for more than two decades, despite significantly increased corporate revenue. There are several reasons for this decline. One of the most important factors in the steady erosion of the corporate income tax is the relatively new development of targeted tax incentives. Each year, states grant hundreds of tax incentives to corporations to encourage economic development. The incentives often include tax credits for investment, worker training, and job creation, as well as expanded operations. The proliferation of these incentives in recent years has created an atmosphere in which companies are encouraged to seek incentives and use the incentives offered by one state as a vehicle to obtain a similar or better incentive in another state. Nebraska has developed a full array of corporate tax incentives which are marketed through the Department of Economic Development, DED, and administered by the DOR. The DED's mission is to make strategic public investments in private businesses, not-for-profit enterprises and community development projects that create or retain primary jobs which will foster new investment in Nebraska. Primary jobs are the jobs where the goods or services manufactured or processed by Nebraska workers are generally exported outside the state, bringing in revenue from outside the state, as well as research and development jobs that are funded by sources outside Nebraska. Nebraska's business incentives program began with the enactment of the Employment and Investment Incentive Growth Act in 1987 and has expanded over the years. Nebraska's current economic development incentives are promoted under a program called Nebraska Advantage. The tax incentives are performance-based and vary depending upon the magnitude of the investment and the number of jobs created by selected businesses engaged in certain operations. Exhibit 6.3 is a chart outlining the tax incentives available for various levels of investment and employment. The program provides investment tax credits for investment, wage credits for employment, sales tax refunds for some or all capital purchases, and certain property tax refunds. Similar tax credits are provided for separate programs for rural Nebraska under the Nebraska Rural Advantage Program. The Nebraska Advantage program is relatively new and appears to be working as intended. DED reports that from 2006 through 2007, there have been 120 project applications with investments of more than $4 billion and more than 11,000 new jobs. As these projects are implemented and new job targets are met, the resulting tax credits will reduce corporate income tax, sales tax, and property tax revenues. At the same time, the newly created jobs will increase personal income tax revenue and sales tax revenue through personal consumption. A second factor that has reduced corporate income tax receipts in Nebraska, as well as other states, is the lack of uniformity of the state's tax laws. When most states employed the three-factor formula on the combined unitary business, there was little a corporation could do to minimize the amount of tax paid. Now, with the increasing lack of uniformity, corporate taxpayers may aggressively plan their business operations to minimize the state income tax burden. In states that do not have combined reporting, a corporate taxpayer can often lower its tax by placing some business activities in separate corporations, and in the majority of states, like Nebraska, which do have combined income returns, corporations would ideally like to have their plant and payroll in single-factor sales states and their marketing and sales in three-factor states. Another development which impacts Nebraska and other states' corporate income tax collections is the rise of the use of limited liability companies, LLCs, and limited liability partnerships, LLPs, which are treated as partnerships or pass-through entities for federal income tax purposes. Most states, including Nebraska, treat LLCs and LLPs the same way for state income tax purposes. A 2003 study in the National Tax Journal concluded that states have lost up to a third of their corporate income tax revenue due to the increased use of LLCs and LLPs. This does not necessarily mean that that income is not taxed by the state. Rather, it generally means that income from LLCs and LLPs passes through to individuals and is taxed under the individual income tax. The trend towards gross receipt taxes. Several states have recently enacted legislation to replace existing state corporate income or franchise taxes with a broad-based business gross receipts tax, GRT. A GRT is generally a low-rate excise tax on the receipts of all types of businesses, not just corporations. Some states have adopted a GRT because of its ability to raise substantial amounts of revenue and to provide a more stable revenue stream over the course of business cycle than the corporate income tax. In addition, the GRT is viewed as having improved equity in tax payments among the different forms of business organizations such as corporations, partnerships, LLCs, etc., as well as between goods-related and service-related industries. There are also drawbacks to a GRT. Since the GRT is not income-based, taxpayers have to pay the GRT even when income is low or non-existent. In addition, the GRT can have a great impact on a high-volume, low-profit margin business, as the tax targets gross receipts rather than net profits. Moreover, unless a credit is provided for the purchase of business inputs, the GRT can be remitted and result in a tax on a tax. Exhibit 6.4 is a chart showing the key features of GRTs enacted by various states. The GRT recently enacted by Texas will replace Texas corporate franchise tax, which included a tax on corporate profits. Ohio has recently enacted the Ohio Commercial Activities Tax, CAT, on all forms of business. This major tax reform package changes almost every Ohio tax and will phase in over a 5-year period. Under the CAT, the amount of gross receipts determines how the tax is calculated. Businesses with annual gross receipts of $150,000 or less are not subject to the CAT. Those with receipts from $150,000 to $1 million pay a minimum $150 tax. Gross receipts exceeding $1 million will be taxed at a rate of 0.26%. As mentioned above, the Ohio CAT is part of a comprehensive tax reform package. The Ohio sales tax rate will be cut from 6 to 5.5%. The individual income tax rate will be reduced by 21%. The existing 10% property tax rollback will be eliminated for commercial property, but retained on residential and agricultural real property. The corporate franchise tax will be eliminated. The overall tax reform package appears to be a shift from individual taxes to increase business taxes. Many state tax policy experts are strongly opposed to GRTs. Recently, David Brunori stated, "Gross receipts taxes are a terrible way to raise revenue. One of their biggest problems is that they are hidden taxes. No one who bears the burden is aware of it. That alone should be reason to reject gross receipts taxes. I hope this is not the start of a bad trend." Recent commentaries on the corporate income tax. Many of the most respected state tax practitioners and commentators have questioned whether, in light of the current environment, the corporate income tax should be employed by the state at all. In State Tax Policy, David Brunori sets forth the argument, given the relatively small amount of revenue generated by the corporate income tax, as well as the high costs of compliance and administration, a relevant question is whether states should impose the tax at all. The tax fails to achieve many of the rationales thought to justify its imposition. It has not played a role in protecting the personal income tax. Given the small revenue, it is doubtful the tax has a meaningful impact on the overall incidence of state fiscal systems. Most observers have also concluded that it has much to be desired as a benefits tax. Indeed, with respect to paying for services, the business community pays far more in other types of taxes than it does in corporate income taxes. In 2004, business entities paid over $447 billion in state and local taxes. Only 8% of that amount consisted of corporate income taxes. Many experts believe that the corporate income tax is neither an efficient nor an effective method for raising state revenue. There are several reasons for ending the corporate income tax. The problems discussed above have decimated the tax. Most of them are difficult, if not impossible, to fix. There is virtually no public or political support for addressing the problems associated with separate accounting or business non-business income. For the amount of money raised, it is not worth the administrative and compliance costs. This position has been advocated by other respected state tax experts. James Peters, a nationally known practitioner who has served with the California Franchise Tax Board, concludes that there is little theoretical support for the tax. Economist Peggy Musgrave notes that the corporate income tax at the state level has run counter to the recommendations of most economists who have traditionally seen the tax as a particularly inefficient and inequitable instrument, singularly unsuited for use at the state level. Former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Tax Analysis, Charles McClure, asserted that state corporate income taxes have manifest disadvantages that disqualify them for use by states. McClure stated, "The primary reasons for a state corporate income tax are cosmetic and political. It is simply not politically acceptable for individuals to pay income taxes if corporations do not." In 2005, McClure stated, "There is little good to be said for state corporate income taxes. Corporate profits are a poor measure of the benefits of public services the state provides to business. Thus, corporate income taxes interfere with economic neutrality and undermine the state's competitive position. They are neither fair nor transparent. The best that can be said for them is that they act as a backstop for the individual income tax, which might otherwise be avoided through incorporation." This being said, the fact still remains that Nebraska is already aggressively utilizing every type of tax in its system, and repealing the corporate income tax would mean that more than $260 million of revenue would have to be generated from some other source. Moreover, the backstop issue is potentially important. What is meant by backstop is that if a state has a personal income tax, as Nebraska does, the existence of a corporate income tax protects the state against individual taxpayers incorporating solely to shield some of their income from taxation by the state. If the corporate income tax were repealed, there is the risk that some individuals would incorporate and pay state income tax only upon the income which they draw out as salary, but delay or avoid paying state income tax on the remaining earnings which are left as retained earnings in the corporation. Those retained earnings would eventually be taxed as a dividend or as a capital gain at a lower rate of federal tax than if taxed as ordinary income. Commission recommendations. The Commission concludes that while their utilization of the single-factor sales formula is still subject to the criticisms which were contained in the Syracuse study, it should be retained due to the significant shift in their use of the single-factor sales formula among the states in the 20 years since the Syracuse study. In 1988, only Iowa employed the single-factor sales formula. Today, more states use the single-factor sales formula than the traditional three-factor formula, and in recent years, more and more state legislatures are considering adopting it in order to remain competitive with other states. In addition, the Commission recommends that the next time the legislature reviews Nebraska's business incentive programming, the legislature also review the corporate income tax and its role as a vehicle for delivering those tax incentives for businesses making new investments and creating new jobs in the state. As part of that review, the legislature should examine the backstop issue and determine whether there are any ways in which the individual income tax could be protected if the corporate income tax were modified or repealed, and its role as a backstop was eliminated. The Commission recommends that the legislature re-examine the level of existing tax brackets. The lowest tax bracket is imposed on the first $50,000 of income, and this level is fixed and not adjusted for inflation. Consequently, the effect of inflation has resulted in effectively increasing the tax rate of corporate taxpayers when income is adjusted for inflation. The Commission recommends that the laws be amended to provide that the tax brackets will automatically adjust each year for inflation. The Commission is opposed to replacing the corporate income tax with a gross receipts tax, GRT, because of the regressive nature of a GRT and the pyramiding effect of a tax on a tax which a GRT produces. The Commission recommends that the legislature periodically study the experience in other states which have recently adopted GRTs